everybody. Welcome to part two. This is the second part of the ninth episode of the 10th season of Grey's Anatomy. We are Grey's Academy, your favorite podcast about your favorite show. And we're going to start this episode with everybody's favorite segment, Living in Chondaland.
Living in Chondaland! Excuse me.
Oh my. It was wildly unpleasant. Okay. This last week was a bummer. Last week we had no one. This week we have two.
The lawyer.
No.
Wait.
Fucking.
Which lawyer?
The Travis's lawyer.
No.
Callie's lawyer?
Yes. I was like, what if I just said no?
No. I'd be like, well, then why ask which lawyer?
I know.
Okay. And then Travis's girlfriend.
No.
Travis?
Yes.
Okay.
So those two. So Curie Graham is Greg, which is Callie's lawyer. He was in one episode of Private Practice. Jason Deckert played Travis, who was in one episode of Private Practice, a different episode, and then one episode of Scandal. So
got it.
Yeah.
Love that.
That's who it is.
That's amazing. You know what else I love? I tracked one of these down.
Oh, he found some Pokemon cards. You guys, it's been so long.
I know, I know. Well, here's the thing. I've been ripping my cards with Jessica and Marlo.
Mm-hmm. And not
I actually went into the sealed collection to pull out a Phantasmal Flames. So we're looking for Charizard, okay? We're looking for the big daddy Charizard here, okay? There should be some names. There should be some Pokemans that you know and love that you've seen before just in life.
There was actually a really cute Pokemon commercial during the Super Bowl.
Yes. With all the celebrities and their favorite Pokemon.
Yeah, I thought it was so cute.
Yeah, it's very cute. Very cute. All right, so I got this guy here.
That. Oh, I do know him. That's the, he has a lily pad for a hat.
Yep, that is Lotad.
That's a dog.
Yep, that is Bolton.
Oh, he has a Pikachu tail.
He does have a little bit of a Pikachu
is
tail.
It Pikachu's dog? Oh my god, that's so cute. Who is that? He's so cute. Oh my god, I'm obsessed with him. He's like a blueberry wearing pants.
Bunny-ery. He's a little bunny.
Oh, he's a bunny guy. Wearing pants. Okay.
Yep.
He's cute. Okay, that's just a thing. And this
that's
guy.
Just a fucking a bramblin' little tumbleweed guy.
Yeah. Oh, that's a scary clown person. I don't like that.
Grimsley's move, yes.
Okay, that has to be an evolution of that dumb thing that I hate. Rock the Rock guy? Is this, what is this guy? This is like a vampire.
No,
rock.
This evolves from a Glybat, I think. Yeah, Gligar.
It's a bat guy. But it looks like a vampire rock.
Yep, Glysaur, who that was.
That's a shark.
That's a woolly mammoth.
Oh, no, that's a woolly mammoth.
Mamoswine.
Oh, that's a roaring crocodile.
Yep, yep.
Or
that
a
is,
screaming crocodile.
It's literally, his name is Crocodile.
Oh, is he shiny?
He's holographic,
fish.
Yes.
That's a fish.
Nope. It's dugong. It's a seal, sea lion.
Oh.
And then the last card, the reveal. We get a big Charizard, Big Daddy.
Oh,
we do actually have a Mega Evolution. Mega Lopunny, but it's not the Charizard.
He is very shiny, yeah. It's so shiny that the computer cannot grasp it to show me what it is.
Oh, here, let me try again here.
I feel like it's a bird, but I really can't tell.
It's another bunny.
Oh, it's not as cute as the bunny with the pants.
No, Bunnery is cuter. I did get excited. So I got one really big hit in a deck, a red Victini from the White Flare set. And it was kind of stuck to the back of the card. So when this one stuck to the back of the card, I was like, I'm going to get something good. And I did not get something good.
Sorry.
But it was fun. That was fun. And you know what?
It's been a minute.
Yeah, for our millennial listeners out there, that was for you.
Yes. And anyone else who cares about Pokemon, because I'm a millennial and I don't care. But I have a good time when we do that.
All right, so I think we left off with... we saw the infection on Travis's leg, and we're like, mm-hmm. yo, how'd you let they get that bad? And I think the next scene is Callie or Arizona walking in on Callie, and she has the rip in her pantyhose, and she's changing.
Oh, yeah, she's like sobbing hysterically in the bathroom. And she like tries to kind of comfort her a little bit. And she gives her the picture that Sophia drew in the morning. She's like, it's a jellyfish and a mermaid, and I don't know which is which, but you should have it. And that way, when you like, you're freaking out, you can look at it and it'll calm you down, which is nice.
Honestly, it's a nice moment. It's nice.
This whole episode is kind of like, you know, it's like, how did it get so bad? And then now it's back to at least like very good co-parenting. It seems like they can be in a room together. There's tolerance between them. And so, but it's very much like, how did we get here? How did we let this happen? And then they're kind of showing that, right? They're like showing us the things we didn't see in the last year, which when you watch a show, it is kind of sometimes hard to believe that, oh, all of this stuff was happening last season and you just didn't show it. But at the same time, like, Grey's is notorious for skipping large chunks and like, yeah, they're main characters, but there's other main storylines going on during these times. So who's to say? I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just so many things.
I'm not someone who hates the retcon. I think the art of the retcon is unique. And I think that them creating a retconning experience where Callie in Arizona had a pregnancy that was lost, whether it was chemical pregnancy or full-on miscarriage, mm-hmm. right? Like, we didn't see a big blow-up fight about it. We didn't see them have this conversation. I think we saw the baby shower, and we didn't see this conversation happen at the baby shower, right? Like, we're not going to see every single second of every single thing of every single life event.
Right.
And I like these kind of things. And Star Wars is notorious for this. They'll kind of, like, listen to what the fans say, and they'll retcon things out, or... The yeah, terrible retconning of retcon. Han shot think, first, you know,
yeah,
like
you
all
have
that
to
stuff.
Really like not look too deep in it with something like this, just from a timeline perspective. I'm like, you cannot question it, because at that baby shower, Meredith looks so fucking pregnant. And you're going to tell me that between that baby shower and when she has the baby, which is when Arizona cheats. So I'm thinking max 2 months. They were able to find a sperm donor, get the sperm, do the process to like get Arizona pregnant. Arizona is pregnant. Arizona goes to the ultrasound, which technically typically the first ultrasound is like 8 weeks, sometimes 6 weeks, depending on... I mean, maybe they could go earlier because they're doctors, but like, I would think they would either be going at 6 or 8 weeks. And then they have like all of their processing that, and then there's still like plenty of time between that and their house shot. It just like is a lot. Really, my only issue with it is the timeline perspective. And again, they just, when they write these shows, they're like, no one's going to dissect it this much because people are normal. Well, not us.
Surely there will never be a podcast where we are debunked. Actually the next scene, you hit on a good point. So the next scene they're in is where they're looking at donors, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. then they talk about one being a college dropout, and they're both like, pass, hate that shit. Triggered. I'm triggered.
You're
but
useless.
Then, you know, it kind of gets into a nice, yeah. Those college dropouts are useless pieces of garbage. Starting with me, they have kind of a cute moment where I do like where Arizona says, do you think I'll enjoy being pregnant? And Callie's like, yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Minus this laundry list of terrible fucking things.
Worst. Some people love it, though. You know what? And that's just like different people, different experiences. I love that for them.
Yeah. There are people out there who yearn for pregnancy. Mm-hmm. There's people who don't, you know? So life is a highway, you know?
Shirley.
And stop calling me Shirley.
Exactly.
So, yeah that was cute. That was cute. And then she's pouring out the wine, and then I think that's when it gets a flashback to the big reveal. Or flash forward.
I was like, wait, what? Yes, so her dad surprises her. And we also learn that he is unaware that they have split up. And the line, I won't hit a lady, but I know people, is wild work. What a thing to make a person say. That yeah. is crazy.
Yeah, we all know that in this day and age, we're encouraged as men to hit women.
Depending on
who. Because the patriarchy.
Right. But I do like what I do like, and this is later that he says this, but when he says, what about her I'm a good man in a storm bullshit? Like, where the fuck did that go? And I'm like, that's a good call out. Because, you know.
Did he say that? Did I miss that?
Yeah, he says that later on in the episode.
Wow, I missed that completely. Yeah. I'm going to need the receipts on that one. I need you to walk me through that scene. Let's talk about this for a moment, because I want to clarify things. Every time he shows up, he walks into something that is bad news to him. Not necessarily bad news, because the last big thing of news to him was that his daughter was in a same-sex relationship. Every time this guy shows up, he's like, I can't come around anymore. What bomb is going to be dropped on me anytime I show up to my daughter's house? Because now I just want to give my granddaughter a hug, and I find out that my daughter wants a divorce and they're separated. After I just, and she even says, she's like, he's like, why didn't you tell me? He said, well, you just got over the fact that I'm, you know, I was married to a woman, like all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. I love it. And she's sitting there, she's crying, and she says something about me being pathetic. And he goes, nothing about you is pathetic. Mm-hmm. And that's how you show up as a father, folks.
Mm-hmm. Also, what an arc for a character to go from being so unaccepting of your child being queer that you fly your priest across the country to try and religion shame them out of it, to go so far now that you are urging that same child to work to save that relationship.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah, we've gone through a full range of emotions every time we see this man.
Mm-hmm.
And we even get more emotions later.
Yeah. You know what? I love him. He's a gem. I do wonder, I'm just gonna talk about this now. Like, at the end of the episode when he's like, you need to make your marriage work. I do wonder again how much of that encouragement is coming from, like, save your family. Or how much of it is coming from, like, I'm Catholic and divorce isn't real. Because then when he was going on and on about his marriage and, you know, he cheated, but his wife stayed with him. I'm like, yeah, because she's hella religious. She doesn't believe. There's no way that woman's chill with divorce.
Yeah. The way I understood that was he cheated before
they got the married.
Marriage.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. Because he said, your mom forgave me, and then it led to 38 years and I would never have had you, or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely would have been early on in the marriage if it was when they were married. So I need to know how old Callie's supposed to be at this point, because
I'll just do a quick search on that.
Just Google it. Just Google everything. Callie Torres information.
Callie Torres full Grey's Anatomy arc.
Yeah. So I think it is nice when Hector shows back up and is being a supportive fellow.
Yeah.
So, you know, good for him.
I think after that reveal is when we get the next flashback, which is they kind of go very quick. It's they flash back to Arizona being pregnant, and then they flash back to the present where they're in a board meeting and she's like, "Hey guys, I'm here. I know that I'm not supposed to be. Here's my deal." And that's kind of the first big moment where Christina, I think, jumps in and says, "I think we should settle, guys, because they have a fucking good case.
Here's also something, I don't know if you noticed this because you probably didn't know to look for it. The scene where Callie gets home and she has the pizza and Sophia's playing on the floor and Arizona is like screaming for her from the bathroom. She sets the pizza down on the table. If you go back and rewatch the scene, there's some mail sitting on top of the pizza. That fall when she sets it down in a rush to go see if Arizona's okay, falls behind the table. And that
butterfly effect
comes back later. So
that's crazy. No, I did not see that.
Yep.
That is nutso.
Yeah.
Good call out. That's why you're...
They put that in there.
That's why you're the professor.
See, this is where they do the continuity well. You know, things like that, like little details like that. So I will never say that they're bad at continuity. Obviously, their timelines are just insane. But maybe they live in an alternate universe where time works different. I don't know. I don't live there, yeah. So...
I also don't know.
But yeah, I did want to call out that you can see that occurring. So that is the timestamp kind of on that happening.
I guess I don't understand fully how the envelope reappears. I don't think I caught that.
Like bends over to pick something up and she sees it behind the table.
Oh, okay.
And she pulls it out. Yeah.
That's so nuts.
It is, yeah. It's wild.
Yeah, great call out. I would never have looked for that.
Yeah. And again, it's one of those things where I've watched it 100 times, so I know that they put it in there, but I like that they put it in there. Like, I like, they could have just at some point been like, "Oh, found this letter. Who knows how it got there?" They could have written it that it got lost in the mail. But they wrote it that it fell behind the bookshelf, that she had it and just didn't open it before the surgery because she didn't know that she had it.
What I think you're trying to say is Arizona murdered Travis's career.
Here's what I will say about this episode and also you as a human being. There's like such
a curious where we're going with this.
There's such like an ever-present need to place blame on a singular human being. And it's very interesting to me. And I see it in other people that I know who are also male. And so I almost wonder if there's some kind of like correlation with that. It's just like a personality trait, I feel like, that I notice in men. Like, when something is happening, there's like a need to say, like, it's, and it's not even a need to say it's not my fault. It's just, like, they'll even say, like, "Oh, this is my fault," about things that are no one's fault. Like, sometimes things just happen. They're like, "This is my fault." I'm like, "It's not. It simply just is something that happened." And that's what I would say. This is something, just something that happened. And it's no one's fault. And that's like a it's just like a weird, like, I feel like there's some kind of deep-seated urge within people. And again, I could be wrong, but I can think of multiple people I know that I see it trend in, and they are all males. And so it's interesting to me, and I wonder if there is some kind of like genetic, like predisposition to like need to like know, okay, this is the reason, like I need to like trace this back to a singular person or a singular event. And I'm like, no, sometimes the world is just the way the world is.
I don't know, maybe there is something in our little tiny lizard brains, and maybe it's specifically in the male brain, where we're able to rationalize things better if there is a reason for it or a blame.
Listen, and I wouldn't even say we're all just on a floating rock. You know what I mean?
Yeah. In the to quote Pete Holmes, we're a rock floating in infinite nothing, which is getting bigger. Mm-hmm. The infinite nothing is growing.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. So I don't know. Maybe there's a rationality piece where mm-hmm. we can understand better if there's a, like, if we understand the cause and effect of things.
Yeah, I could definitely, that would, like, make sense. I mean, it's kind of like how you think a lot of times when in a relationship, again, this is speaking to, like, my experience and other people that I know who I've talked to this about, if they're, like, complaining about something with to their partner, and, like, the instinct of the man is to be like, well, here's the solution, when a lot of times it's just, like, voicing the problem. I'm like, I'm not looking for you to fix it. I'm looking for you to, like, hear me and just kind of, like, sit with me with it. But then not just to be like, well, you can do this, this, and this. I'm like, no. Don't tell me what to do. But you know what I mean? Like, I wonder if it's a similar
yeah.
kind of mindset piece from that.
Maybe. Maybe.
I'm just going to go back to school and become a psychiatrist. And I'll let you know.
Yeah, I'm not going to. But luckily for you, I hear that you would have a very low suing rate.
So true. And I'm swimming in time, so I can definitely do that.
Swimming in it. Yeah, I don't actually think that Arizona specifically murdered his career, but it is funny to think about the chain of events that were caused mm-hmm. by Arizona yelling about the pregnancy thing.
Yeah.
When she could have just
been in the
room.
Which is normal, like
an
appropriate reaction.
For sure. But, like, also, you could have just been out in the living room with Sophia.
She might have literally just done it the second that Callie walked in, though.
I guess that's fair. And those, man, it's been a while since we've had a positive pee stick, but very fun, exciting times.
They are fun. It's, you know, life, quite literally life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, she is pregnant. And then, yes, that's when they go to the board meeting. And Callie's like, hey, you know, these are the two separate lawsuits the hospital should settle, but I'm not going to. And they kind of debate back and forth what they should do. And I don't feel like they say what they're going to do, but I assume the hospital does settle because we don't see anything more than Callie's trial. And I think if they hadn't settled, it would probably be, like, together.
Maybe. I mean, I think that'd still be two separate court cases.
Maybe. You might be right. But also, I think to their point when they're like, you know, we just got the hospital back on its feet. We don't want to, like, risk this again.
Yeah. But when we get back to the court scene after that, it's Christina. And she's on the stand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that lawyer, like, really loves having her on the stand.
God, this motherfucker. And she's like, oh, why did you introduce Travis to Callie? Oh, she was the best orthopedic surgeon I knew. Was? She's not anymore. I'm like, okay, dude, that's fucking bullshit trickery. I hate stuff like that. Oh, you did?
Listen.
Well, yeah, I'm telling you a story in the past. So I am using the past tense. Because that's the appropriate way to tell a story in the past.
Oh, tense? Do you feel tense right now?
This is
tense because intense. Of all the lies. No, this is in-house.
What are you doing?
You said intense. I said in-house.
Okay.
It's a joke.
It's so good. So Christina is testifying. And then also, like, they look at Travis's heart and Joe comes in because his leg is gray. And then they have the back and forth about heart or leg. And they, you know, there's obviously a disagreement and some back and forth. And Miranda comes in and she's like, I can hear you guys yelling all the way down the hall. and they kind of end up settling on let Callie try to save the leg first, and then Christina can go in on the heart because it's going to keep throwing these clots because of the murmur, allegedly because of the infection.
And I think the part of the end, yeah, that was my understanding as well. And part of the issue was Callie wanted to give it an extra day of the antibiotics just coursing through his veins.
Yeah. Also,
so the lawyer obviously takes that disagreement that they quoted as and says, man, it sounds like it was a huge ass fucking argument.
Yeah, like,
you guys are ready to go to blows.
I was yelling. Yeah. Oh my God. This guy, am I right?
Ugh.
Annoying, but to be honest, a good lawyer.
Great lawyer.
That's quite literally his job is to do that annoying shit.
Annalise would be proud.
So true. It goes well in the surgery, right? And they're like, oh, could not have gone better. And he wakes up, both his legs are black.
Which
What's
is crazy.
Also interesting is like there, it's like mid chin down are fully black. And they say later on that once they're black, it's like there's nothing you can do. You're going to have to amputate. But then it looks like they're amputated above the knee. So,
well, I imagine that the knee joint was not necessary for that to keep, I guess.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It might have to do with like how prosthetics work and everything, if you would go above or below the knee. But I'm like, I guess there's also a risk of the infection spreading more inside, like if you can't get clean margins on what's already infected.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And then obviously like later that night they end up doing the amputation.
I go back to the same thing with the infection piece. Like,
mm-hmm.
How did it get all the way to black legs? Are there not people checking? Are there not?
Well, I think I kind of took it to be like it happens really fast. I mean, she's literally talking like, oh, the surgery that I took it as like the surgery we just did went so well, like couldn't have gone better. Like, I really thought that it was like he was just essentially waking up from that surgery.
I don't know. That to me feels so quick.
Yeah, I mean, but if you like lose blood flow, I assume they would go pretty quick. If you got an infection and a loss of blood flow. It is wild. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
That was gnarly to watch though. Like absolutely just horrific.
Unpleasant to look at, yeah. Like not something you want to experience.
No.
But yeah, so they end up doing that. And so then we get Whitney on the stand. Whitney is the girlfriend.
Oh,
Travis's girlfriend.
Whitney.
Whitney has heard some things that Callie has said, not directed to her or Travis, that do not paint Callie in a great light. Because what she said was, I don't want to be the doctor responsible for turning an Olympic athlete into a doorstop, which, to be fair, is a horrendous thing to say.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound great. And we get these doctors in this hospital do this shit a lot. You're just saying stuff a little too close to these people that you're saying it about.
Yeah. But the way that Whitney said it was that, you know, Callie seemed more worried about her reputation than
about
the patient,
Travis.
Which is not the case. I think she was using ghoulish overkill to, you know, share her point of, I'm going to do everything I can to save this fucking guy.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not. I think it also is like, I don't want to be the person responsible for ending his career is another way to say that. And
which is
that's
just
not
a fair
even about
reputation.
That's just like, I want him to continue to live the life that he's led up to this point, which is fair and valid and a good quality in a doctor.
Yeah. And it's unfair being taken out of context. Also worth mentioning very quickly, the scene right before that is when Weber comes in and just disses April for the driving. And now
just
he's there
fun.
Also in a wheelchair, but able to stand and walk.
That we know of.
That's fair. Haven't seen him walk in this entire episode, actually.
So then we flash back again to some capitalism. And then we're back here in the present, but we'll flash back again to Callie in Arizona. Arizona, again, in this point in time, is pregnant. They are looking at a house. It's very cute. There's like a backyard, a swing set, a pool, all this stuff. Callie's on her phone. She's in Arizona's like, put that away. And she says, oh, I'm trying to get some more information from the people who are doing the clinical trial in the Peterson Hip in Germany, just so I can like have all the information. And she's like, oh, they won't send that to you until they publish. She's like, well, I'm going to ask anyways. So she like sends out this email, and then she's, you know, like, okay, let's look at the house. Show me the swing set. It's a cute little moment between them. Oh, and Arizona says it's girls. She's like, I'm going to have a girl, which I think is cute.
She's manifesting a girl.
Mm-hmm.
I want to pause here for a second, because in that email that she sends,
mm-hmm.
it would be within days of getting the alleged letter that stopped work on that trial and that research, right?
I don't super know the timeline of it, because at this point, when they're looking at the house, she hasn't done the surgery.
Right. But she's pregnant.
Yeah.
And the letter falls in the scene where she finds out she's pregnant. So you have to, it's taking place after that. I don't know how long after that, but I imagine it's been, but like you said, it's before the surgery, but after the letter has fallen behind the counter. Or the dresser. I guess my question is, why wasn't there a follow-up email mm-hmm. immediately sent saying, we mailed you this a while back. We're no longer doing the trial.
Yeah.
We're not doing the research. That's my beef with some of that stuff
that's
going on
fair.
Right now.
For sure, that makes sense. I definitely agree with that. And also, I'm like, when it's something super important, like, hey, we're not even doing this anymore because of death, maybe you mail it and you email it and you call. And if you're going to do mail, maybe we do certified mail, so we have to sign that we received it. Like, it just feels...
And maybe you send an email that the mail is coming...
Market urgent, you know, it's just like a lot. And maybe she didn't say that she's trying to do a surgery. Maybe she's just saying like, oh, I'm interested in learning about this. But I feel like she would say, oh, I'm trying to do this huge surgery on this very successful athlete, and this is what he's requested. So
you know,
I
what
think-
hold on, I think I just put it all together. I think I just okay. put it all together.
Tell me.
He was a snowboarder.
Yeah.
Germany is actively trying to retain its, reclaim its throne at the top of the Winter Olympics.
Okay, so you're blaming the country of Germany again.
Yes.
Gotta be blaming somebody.
Yes. It is an inside job by the country of Germany specifically to target Travis's legs.
Okay, perfect. I love that. So, you know, it's all about the missed connection of the letter.
Yeah.
So then we cut to, Callie going in to see Travis after she's done the amputation. He like won't look at her. Also he's like testifying. This is his testimony, right? He trusts Callie and, you know, he's upset. And then he says on the stand, before we get the flashback, he says, she told me that I should blame her, or that she's to blame. Which again, when we see the actual way that it was presented, that's not really what she said. When we see like Callie's fuller version of the story, it's just not the reality of what was said. But this like end part where we're getting Travis's testimony and Callie coming by after the amputation, and then it's also cutting to like Callie in present day talking to her dad about Arizona and the split, and then it cuts to her testimony, and then it goes to the miscarriage, and then it goes to back to Callie on the stand, and it's just like a lot all at once, so we'll kind of just do our best to get through it all. So Travis is on the stand and he says, yeah, like Callie told me to blame her. And they're like, what the hell are you talking about? So when we see the full version of that, when Callie's on the stand, what it is Callie comes in to see him after amputation and he like won't look at her. He's like yelling at Whitney, like, kick her out. I don't want her here. This is like her fault. I can't kick her out. You have to kick her out. Why are you just standing there like screaming at Whitney? And Callie stops him and she like tells Whitney, why don't you go like take a break in the family lounge? I'm going to talk to Travis for a minute. And I really like this moment because she is coming from truly a place of understanding that most people are not going to have from the side of Whitney, like from Whitney's point of view, from the point of view of the support person, from the partner. And she had brought Whitney some pamphlets on like support groups. And she's like, make sure, you know, you get them to go and all this stuff. And she's like, dude, you're not going to become a monster and take this out on her because it's not her fault. If you need someone to blame, you can blame me, which is not the same thing as saying I am to blame. Those are different
things. I'm not
those are different
openly
words.
I'm not openly yearning for blame. I'm just saying
that I
thought
it would be fun to
here.
Cut off your legs is just simply not what she said.
Right. But I could see the confusion. I can see the confusion.
Well, I could see how he's twisting
when
it
you
to
walked
try
in
and, you know,
yeah.
win some
Germany paid
money.
Me to sabotage your mm-hmm. career versus I know this is terrible if you need someone to help you cope by blaming and being hating. Like, let me be the enemy.
Yeah.
Let me be the Aaron Burr of your story if you need that to
like,
be the case.
Let me take that. Your relationship doesn't need to like crumble because of this thing that has happened.
Yeah.
You cannot take this all out on her and expect your relationship to succeed. And then also during Callie's testimony, she says, because he says on Travis's testimony, he's like, oh, she apologized. And Callie's doctor says it's illegal to use, or sorry, Callie's lawyer says
lawyer,
it's illegal
yeah, yeah.
to use a doctor's apology as an admission of guilt.
Is that real? Is that true? Okay.
I believe yes.
I like that.
Yeah. Because again, it's like, yeah, you are sorry that it happened. It's not like, again, she's not saying, sorry, I just felt like cutting your legs off and then did it. Bye. Like she's saying, I'm sorry this happened. I'm sorry this is how this played out. Again, we all know you signed the terrifying documents before you did this, saying all of these things could happen.
Yeah.
Exactly. So she says, feeling sorry and like being able to relate to and like be empathetic towards my patient doesn't make me a bad doctor. It makes me a good human. And I'm not going to stop doing it. I'm not going to be negligent. I'm not going to let you say that makes me negligent because it doesn't. And I'm going to keep like feeling for my patients because otherwise, like, what's the point?
It's all those last couple of minutes of the episode are all very, very heavy.
Yeah. So there's a couple things that I'm going to do the receipts for. First of all, when Callie's on the stand and they're talking, they're going back over the heart versus leg conversation, and she says, let's say you're cooking and you start a grease fire in your kitchen and it spreads to your curtains. What do you do? Do you put out the grease fire or do you extinguish the curtains? Which disaster do you tackle first? So I liked that analogy, and I was like thinking, and I was like, that's a good question, and I don't know. Probably the curtains.
I assume it's the grease
fire.
Feels
like, well, the curtains feel like those are going to fall, and now it's on your walls. So you get the curtains done, and then you go back over to the fire, the grease fire.
I think
I
you always got
to
go with
the
source
of
the
fire. I need
to
know the layout of the house.
I need to know if they have any oxygen tanks in there that could explode at any moment.
Yeah, that's fair. And then when she says, okay, so what she says to Travis, don't you dare take this out on her. You've you're hurt and angry and you have every right to feel those things, but Whitney has nothing to do with that. You want to take your crap out on somebody, you take it out on me. I can handle it. You need somebody to blame, then blame me. Go on, yell all you want. This never should have happened to you, and if there were any way I could magically change things, believe me, I would. I wish there was something I could do. I wish I could fix this. I tried so hard. I'm so sorry. I'm so, so sorry. This is also directly after Arizona has told her she lost the baby, but doesn't want another one.
Yeah.
Right?
So very intense.
So Arizona comes in after the initial surgery and says that she lost the baby. And then after this surgery where they had to do the amputation, her and Callie are talking and Arizona's like, I can't handle another loss. So Callie says, are you saying you don't even want another kid? And then Arizona says, oh, well, I don't know. And then Callie just leaves. She's like, well, I have to go see my patient.
Right before that, I want to call two things out. So One, there's that scene where Arizona brings Sophia back. And is it Hector? Is that his name?
Yes.
Hector is leering at Arizona.
If looks could kill, am I right?
If looks could kill. And then he's like, she should be here every day trying to fix this, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And Callie's like, dude, I kicked her out.
Yep.
And then he's like, you chose to break up your family? No! The cheating is the choice! Anyways, and then they go to the courtroom and they have that moment where they're like, and that's when you left the sponge in. And she's like, yeah. And I would fucking do it again if it wasn't for those kids and that puppy too. And she, like, the whole courtroom whispers and gasps that she said that she would make that same choice again. It was the right choice. And that was the whole point that she was making. Well, it was the right choice for, like, the scenario.
If she hadn't done it, he would die. So yet again, like, how is that worse? Is the point, I believe.
Yeah.
So, then, okay, so when she's on the stand and she's talking about, you know, when she apologized to Travis, she said, I understood what Travis was feeling. I went through the same thing with my wife. She lost her leg last year and it's changed us. It's cost us in ways I can't even begin to understand. I wouldn't wish this experience on anyone, and now it was happening to my patient. Of course I was sorry. I still am. I am so, so sorry this happened to you, Travis. But that makes me human, not negligent. And if I can't feel for my patients without getting sued, then I guess I'm going to keep getting sued because that's who I am, and I won't apologize for that. And I love that moment.
Yeah, that was such a really great scene. And then you immediately get the scene where Callie's like, oh no, I found this letter that says the whole trial should have been stopped 3 weeks before. And Meredith's like, fucking bury it, dude.
Yeah.
Bury it. It changes nothing. It only could make things worse.
Yeah. Also, it's like at that point, the jury was already deliberating. So I'm like, okay, maybe if you found this letter sooner, you have a moral obligation. Again, then I still only kind of think maybe I don't super, like, I'm not super committed to that. And maybe that makes me a terrible person. But it's like, again, she didn't have it. It's not like she saw it and was like, you know what would be fun? Doing it anyways.
Yeah. And I like that she didn't, because I want Callie to not be in trouble for something that was not her fault. But I don't love that she threw it away in the freaking courtroom. As if a camera wasn't like, oh, that's so crazy. What did you throw away? We should go look at that. Let's call the janitor.
You're crediting security people in there with a lot.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. But yeah,
this
she throws
not
away the letter.
Away with murder.
Yeah, that's also fair. But yeah, she's like, this might sway the jury, but this could definitely ruin your entire career. This could be the nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
So she chooses to not do it. And I like the monologue over
the voiceover,
the verdict reading. Do you have the voiceover receipts?
Yeah, let me just get back up.
Something like facing the world, knowing you should have done better. You could have done better. Blah.
Sometimes we make mistakes, and when we blow it, we're sorry. Not that being sorry really matters anymore. No apology in the world matters now. We've all done things we aren't proud of. I understand that. I know nobody's perfect. But how do you live with it? How do you get up every morning and face the world knowing you could have done better, that you should have done better? Is being sorry enough? Can an apology actually heal our wounds, ease our pain? Can it undo the hurt we've caused? Dum, dum, dum.
And that's when we are led to assume, because there's no words to explicitly say that. She was found not guilty. Christina is clearly very... Yes, you can see. I know. I understand. It's art. It's artistic. Whatever. Blah. But Christina is clearly very upset. Christina wanted her to go down.
You think Christina was upset?
I think Christina was upset. Christina. Everyone else is excited, and Christina's there like mean mugging over in the corner.
I don't think she was upset at all. I think she was maybe surprised, but I don't think she was upset.
I felt the vibes. The vibes were off.
You're incorrect. Your vibe interpretation is wrong.
Check the tape.
I will, check, but not right now because I'm busy.
Same. So we're just going to have to take my word for it.
No, I'm going to check the tape is the thing. So she's not guilty. And then she's back home with Hector. And he's like, I don't understand why you're not trying to fix this. And she's like, also his name in the show is Carlos. His name in real life is Hector.
I wouldn't have remembered either. He's just the Genovia guy.
Yeah. So she's like, it's not enough. She says she's sorry, but who cares? And he's like, you're married. You don't walk away from that. You know, if you just got to try. And she's like, well, she cheated on me. And he's like, well, I cheated on your mother. And she's like, what the literal fuck are you doing right now? and that's, you know, what he says. It was a long time ago. We were young, blah, 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 whatever.
He has a good point, though. Like, I'm not someone who knows what I would do in that moment. Mm-hmm. Although I feel pretty confident what my choice would be at this exact juncture.
I know you feel that way.
But when he basically, and I don't remember this conversation or the one before, where he's like, you shouldn't dictate an entire family off of one decision. And he says that if your mom didn't forgive me, then I would not have had 38 years with you, and I would never have had you. Like, if she didn't forgive me, I would not have you.
Right.
And Arizona might not be able to fix it, but you won't know unless you try. Right. And it goes back to, I don't know when I shared this Pokemon card story, if it was off air or if it was on air or if it was Patreon or not. But when my nephew pulled the card and he's like, I don't want to trade it. Bitch, look at what I have to offer first. You don't say no before you know the offer. Just like you don't agree to a favor until someone says, can you do me a favor? And you know what the favor is.
Yeah, you know? When people say, can you do me a favor? And other people respond with yes, that's wild to me. Because I'm always like, what is it? Tell me what it is. And maybe that makes me a bad person. But also, I'm not going to agree unless I know what it is. What if you ask me to murder somebody for you?
Yep. And I'm a man of my word. So if I say yes to the favor, I have to murder.
To do it.
My hands are tied.
So he is like, you got to try. You got to try. You don't know what you're going to miss. You don't know what you're going to have. If you don't, you don't know what you're going to miss out on. If you don't, it's just all this stuff. So then Callie goes to the hotel.
This scene.
Callie goes to the hotel where Arizona is. And she says, let me pull it up, because she says a lot.
She does say a lot.
She says, you did something impulsive and you were thinking about yourself. It seemed right at the time and you made a mistake. One mistake. I did something like that. One mistake. Today. Look, I have something to ask and you should probably take some time to think about it. I don't need an answer tonight, but I would like to know if you'll come home. And then she leaves. And then Arizona goes and lays down, and naked Leah is in the corner hiding. And Arizona says, "You should get dressed and leave."
Yeah. I would like to say a couple of things. Number one, thank God they didn't do the cliche thing where like Leah comes into the door and goes,
or like walks up behind Arizona. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank God the writers had some gumption to not do what everyone else would have done in this scene.
Yeah.
Number two, I like the emphasis on you made one mistake. Bitch has been making mistakes. Let me tell you, Callie. Motherfuckers making mistakes left and right. And she's like, it feels good. I like it. Let's do this. Yeah, it's very curious.
Feels like
not good things happening under the surface here.
So you'd think it's going to go like super well for everybody involved.
It's going to go super
no issues at all for anybody.
Yep. Exactly. The way the Grays was written, honestly.
Yeah, the way it always works out for everybody in Grays.
Yeah. But I knew the second that the door opened, I was like, Leah's in the room. They're yeah. smushing. Post, pre, or currently mid. Smushing. Mid smush. Thank you. Mid.
Mid smush.
Ugh. Mid smush. That's my favorite time to answer the door at the hotel is mid smush.
Mid smush.
That sucked. Yep. That sucked.
Arizona, what did you think of Arizona's reaction? Because she didn't really have one initially, and then she seemed to kind of just like lay down and start contemplating.
I think Arizona had resigned herself to this is over. So I'm going to at least get my rocks off. Right. Mm-hmm. So like do your thing. And then when she realizes there's a chance, she hard pivots. So like, I think there's a little bit of kudos that I need to give there. I think last week I predicted that they're done. I'm rooting for them. If they can get through it, they could probably get through. Yeah, I like them together. But, like, also, Callie deserves someone who's not going to cheat on her. I don't think she wants to be a person who's married three times. It's not fun for anyone. I don't know. It's just like a shitty. It's just all shitty.
Yeah.
And Lauren murdered their marriage.
She's to blame. No, Arizona.
Sole blame responsibility. Honestly, it's the power outage. If there was no power outage,
it's the storm's fault.
And, you know, a metaphor of being a brave man in a storm. Mm-hmm. Not so brave that night, Arizona.
So, okay, let's, we got a couple questions. How did you
Let's
feel
rapid
about
fire.
The storytelling of giving us a heap of Callie Arizona backstory we never knew about to enable getting back to the end of the episode for Callie to ask Arizona to come back home?
Honestly, I really enjoyed it. I like the storytelling. I like retconning. Yeah, didn't hate it. And it felt believable. It wasn't like they retconned another amputation of a different leg we never saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was okay with me.
Callie, predictions on if/when/how Callie finds out about the Leah situation.
If Callie finds out, which she will, in the next one episode after Arizona moves back in, Callie will find out. It's going to be almost immediate.
So this is episode 9. So next week is 10. Do you think Arizona will move back in the 10th episode?
No. I think it's going to be a little bit of a journey. I think they'll talk. It's going to be a little bit secret. You know what? No. Hold on a second. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make a really bold prediction. Okay. I'm going to predict that Arizona takes the high road and says, Callie, I need to tell you something. I thought we were done. I was boning Leah.
Like immediately she tells her that?
Yep. I think she's gonna be honest and say, I'm back to being the calm, brave, good man in a storm. This is what happened, and I want to work this out with you, but I need you to know this beforehand.
Okay.
And then Callie's gonna hate Leah.
Okay, and then did the jury reach the verdict you expected?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there was beyond a shadow of a doubt that she was negligent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she wasn't, also, is the thing. But right. I think the whole thing with this episode, and also just like with courtroom dramas in general, is like they're gonna build it up for most of the episode, like, wow, how could they ever find this person not guilty, because clearly this testimony is, like, regardless of the reality, like the way this is going is not in their favor. And then, you know, you get like that one really good moment at the end where you're like, oh, they're gonna side with her now, and that's kind of how they played it. But again, I feel like that's really typical with any kind of drama that's set in a courtroom. They're like, if you spell it out right from the beginning, like, oh, this is, you know, gonna be super easy, like, obviously everything's gonna be fine, then there's no conflict, there's no tension, there's no like, oh, what's gonna happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So okay, we can't really make any predictions other than like Arizona and Callie and Leah, because of nothing else outside of that happened in this episode.
Yeah, so and I feel pretty good with the predictions I just made too. Yeah, so yeah.
So let's rate it.
I'm gonna give this one a 4.6.
I was thinking 4.7. So we're right there in cahoots yet again. It's a good one. I like the way they did the storytelling, because it's just a little bit different than what we're used to.
Yeah,
which we always like a little bit mixed up, but when it still works with the show is always nice. Again, it's also, we're kind of out of the hospital in a different setting, not a super fun one, but an interesting one for sure. It creates something good to watch. So I like it. I thought they executed it well. It was, you know, written by someone that has done a lot of episodes, directed by someone who's done a lot of episodes. So when you do something different like this, I think it is important to have that team in the writer's room and on set like that, who still understand like the core of the show. Because otherwise you're going to get people who are just like doing something completely random and it's not going to work. Because if you're going to do something completely different, you have to have people that understand who these characters are. Otherwise it's just going to like feel super out of place.
Yeah, completely agree. So, yeah, no, I really enjoyed this episode. I think it was done well. I like the courtroom style drama. I like the flashbacks. I like the retconning. I think everything in this episode was done well.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, don't have any complaints.
Anything else you want to add?
No. No, that was awesome. Okay, good episode.
Well, yeah, I like this one. I knew it was in the season, but I couldn't really remember when, so I'm glad that we got to it. It is definitely different, and it is kind of coming at a point where we know other things are like going on in the show. Obviously, like the main thing being the Meredith and Christina shenanigans.
Yeah. So, this was a nice break from that, honestly.
Yeah, it is. I agree. So yeah, I'm glad that we got to this one. But thank you guys so much for listening and supporting, and please make sure you're sharing us. You can go to graysacademypod.com and you can find all of our socials, and you can find merch. You can email graysacademypod@gmail.com. You can message us on the Instagrams, and you can watch the reels that we have on there. Hopefully we'll be getting some more up soon. Carmen has not been able to watch at home and record himself very much lately, so when he can, he will. And we'll get some more reels up for you guys, the more of those reactions, because those are always fun. But thank you guys so much. Please just keep sharing. Gotten some more emails from people about finding us, and those are always fun to hear. And it's so fun to talk to people who are like listening from like 3 years ago. And they're like, oh my gosh, Carmen just predicted this thing. And then like we're, you know, now we're in season 10 and they're in season 4 or 5, and it's always fun. So it's fun that other people get to go on this journey, and we like going on this journey, and we're just so appreciative for all of you guys. So thank you so much. And just remember, if you see Carmen walking down the street,
no spoilies. We appreciate you all so much, and we will see you all in the next one.